podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Now then, fellas, ladies, gentlemen, and non-binary folk, you're welcome too. Jay Motti from Scotty and Motti Podcast. Joe Smith from a soon-to-be-announced Twitch thing that he's doing.
Interesting. Cheers. You all right?
You all right?
Stephen Howson from Internet.
Yep, Internet.
How you doing?
Been better, to be honest.
Oh, what's up with you? You pulled your stomach, dodging a light bulb.
Yep.
Tell us about
it's all been happening on it, yeah.
Why? What are we going to be talking about today, Steve?
We are going to be talking about Tedder Mengi fuming, and I love it. We are talking about Scholl saying Bruno was better than him.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting claim.
Yeah, it's a weird one, really, isn't
it? He's more scory than him. I'll give him that, but better, it's probably a bit subjective.
And Cavani as well.
There's a Cavani thing going on with that. What is that?
It's my notes. Cavani getting a new contract, potentially. And the breaking news that Man City's game against Everton has been postponed due to an outbreak of COVID at Manchester City.
Which might lead to what, Joseph?
It might lead to disruptions and or postponements and or a bye for Manchester United in the Carabao Cup semi-final. Now,
yeah,
that's very interesting.
Let's get
straight into that, shall we?
I've asked one of my hui minions, Adam Patterson from 42s, asked him what the crack is. Now, there was a bye, at least one bye, in the earlier rounds of that Carabao Cup. Tottenham Hotspur were the
recipients,
good word, yeah, of it, because they couldn't play against Leighton Orient. Mm. Leighton Orient had some COVID tests and they couldn't play, and that was that. The EFL board said, in line with Carabao Cup Rule 5.1, the club was unable to fulfill its obligation to play and therefore shall forfeit the tie.
Right.
Rule 5.1 says, a club which is unable to fulfill its obligation for a competition match in round one, up to and including round four, due to either, and then he's got loads of lists, will forfeit it. Now, obviously that's only up to round four.
Yeah.
For round five and which for the semi-finals, it does seem like they give you a little bit more leeway to get that game played. It won't be indefinite though. And it does also say, the management committee shall exercise its discretion to which clubs progress through to the next round, up to and not including to arranging buys where necessary, and that does include the semi-finals. So there's a precedent there this year. I don't think they'll do it if they can't play us next week. They might give them like an extra week or so to make. But let's be honest, we've got a pretty packed schedule too.
Yeah.
Mm. I think there's a 50% chance United get a bye here.
Well, to follow on from what you've said...
But there's only a 30% chance of that being true.
Yeah, to follow on from what you said and to follow on from... the fact that the City game against Everton has been postponed. I'm just checking my phone on Twitter to get the quote right here. And I can't find it. Essentially, what was said is that the City's training ground has been postponed, sort of short, for an indeterminate amount of time. As in, we don't know when it's going to be back open. No one is training. It's not the case that those who have been quarantined or those who have been tested positive and then told to quarantine are the only people not there. They've shut the training ground.
Well, it's five players, supposedly.
Yeah.
But that could be 27 staff.
Yeah, it could be five players, 27 staff. It could also be five players now, another six players in the next round of testing when they become...
Yeah, it could also be, you know, we've got five players now, but we've got 21 with symptoms.
Exactly.
That are waiting on test results.
Exactly. So
mind you, they've got them tests now that are 30 minutes, although they're shit. They're not very good.
The accuracy is not quite the same, is it? But yeah, it's very interesting because it's really the first time we've seen this from a Premier League club, isn't it? You said that about Leighton Orient, but we haven't seen a Premier League club. We saw it with Newcastle and their game was postponed, but not in a... I say maybe, you know, it's a club toward the top of the table that affects United.
One that you're asked about, Joe.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. And obviously Man City is big for United anyway because they're a rival for top four and for potentially the title, but they're certainly a rival for
season,
us in
Joe.
The Carling Cup, Carabao Cup, because we play them next week. Now,
do you
read that?
Yeah, I've got the... I know this isn't the Man City podcast and we will move on, but it does affect us. This is the statement from Manchester City. Manchester City FC can confirm that this evening's Premier League fixture at Everton has been postponed. After the latest round of COVID-19 testing, the club returned a number of positive cases in addition to the four already reported on Christmas Day. With the security of the bubble compromised, there posed a risk that the virus could spread further amongst the squad, the staff and potentially beyond. Based on strong medical advice, the Premier League, in consultation with both clubs, have decided to postpone the fixture. All positive cases involving players and staff will observe a period of self-isolation in accordance with Premier League and UK government protocol. The first team training ground at City Football Academy will close for an indeterminate period, with the squad and associated bubble undergoing testing before any decision is made for training to resume. Everyone at the club wishes all of our colleagues a speedy recovery ahead of their return to work, training and competition, even the Champions League, which we've never won.
Do you added that on the end of there? Did they say
that? I may have added that last bit on.
Wild.
Yeah, very wild. We saw with Newcastle, apparently a few of their players are still suffering from the effects of COVID.
Yeah, because like we don't actually know what the long-term effects of this is, because it's still so new. It doesn't matter.
Passion. That's all you need.
If I'd have said to you, to win a trophy, Ollie's going to have to beat Carlo Ancelotti, Pep Guardiola, and Jose Mourinho in succession, you'd have been like, what sort of Champions League fixtures is that? You wouldn't have thought you was getting a free-handled tin pot, would you, for that?
You would
Madness.
Not.
Madness.
Should we talk about Bruno and Scholes then?
Yeah, so Paul Scholes this weekend said, Bruno's better than I am, or were. Yeah. He probably is better than him now.
That's the point I made in the news. Scholes is getting on a bit, so I was pretty accurate. It's difficult, though, isn't it, to gauge these things because, I mean, if you were to prove an argument for either case, you can do it quite easily. Like, if you were to say Scholes is better, well, what's Bruno won? What's Scholes won? If I were to say Bruno's better,
well, if you wanted to say that Bruno's better, let me read you some stats.
Yeah, there you go.
I wrote down on my little notepad.
Go on, sorry.
You look like you wrote me your foot, though.
Yeah.
I'm left-handed, get over yourself.
I'm left-handed.
I'm left-handed as well. In that weird, three left-handed people.
And McCullough's left-handed.
Is he? Stop it. Yeah. No, he's not.
All right,
so
it's not
100% of the Paddocones left-handed.
No, I'm joking. So Scholes,
your jokes are shit. You've had terrible jokes today.
Do you know why?
You're usually the funniest one as well. What's going on?
I'll take that.
Some high-level jokes usually.
Yeah.
There's been some shit.
I'm always telling people how you're really funny and you're letting me down. Well, you're embarrassing me in front of my family.
Well, one of the ones that they're talking about was on Paddock Piss Tape, which you can watch later, Premier League Piss Tape.
You can make your own
decision.
But
it was meant to be a shit joke. That was the whole point of it, if you see it in context. Anyway, Paul Scholes, 499. So for the sake of argument, let's say 500 Premier League appearances, 107 goals and 55 assists in that time. So a goal every five matches.
I'm not sure the 55 assists is legit either.
Well, that's what the Premier League's website says. So.
But they only started counting assists in 2005.
Yeah, but did they though?
I mean, yeah.
I'm not sure on how it works in terms of the way they counted them, but Scholes gets hard done by the assist argument because I was saying to Joe before off camera, Scholes is the type of player that would play a 70-yard pass to Dwight York, who'd tap it 5 yards to Andy Cole, who'd score. Who gets the assist? Who gets the goal?
The Scholesy ball was the one into the final third for Giggs and Beckham, and they'd put a whipper on it.
Yeah.
And then
Scholes who found the defence splitting pass.
It's called a pre-assist, Jay. Google it.
Yeah, but this is the point. Yeah, this is what they were saying.
You can still get pregnant from pre-assist. I learned that at school. Bruno, on the other hand, 28 appearances, 18 goals, 13 assists. So that's a goal every 0.6 matches and an assist.
Amazing.
Basically every other game.
It's pretty
good though. Numbers-wise, you know, regardless of whether that assist number is accurate for Scholes, in terms of goals and assists, Bruno is up there with anyone ever, let alone Paul Scholes, who, like I said, statistically doesn't show his full range, does it?
I was having a discussion with a man on an app the other day.
Was this a row with someone on Twitter?
No, because
was this a row with the driver on Deliveroo?
No. Different app.
Did you leave him stood outside and refuse? I don't want it anymore.
Throw it through the window. I'm not coming noon.
Right, anyway.
Sorry.
I was discussing about, we were talking about Bruno.
Yeah.
And I said, actually, if you look at, he said United played 4-4-2 all through Fergie's reign, which is false.
Right.
And I said, actually, if you look at Bruno, him and Cantona basically occupy the same position. And he went, Bruno's an attacking midfielder, Cantona was a striker. And you go, I know, but actually Bruno's really a number 10 and Eric was really a number 10. Just because you remember Eric getting on the end of stuff doesn't mean that, I mean, is it at the Arsenal game in 94 where he does that flick up volley? 95 it might have been. He starts on the halfway line. There's seven United players in front of him.
Mm.
The Norwich City game in
Sunderland,
yeah.
He starts on the halfway line-ish.
He's a number 10. Just because you remember United being a 4-4-2 team because that's what the newspaper put it as, doesn't mean that's actually what we did. United in that team, we pretty much looked like a 4-2-3-1.
Mm.
You know, we would have had Keenan Ince holding, two proper holding box-to-box midfielders, and then you'd have had very advanced forwards with a Cantona in the middle of them and a striker, Hughes, McClare.
So do you think, and the comparison between Bruno and Cantona, obviously we don't know to the extent that Bruno will
affect
our winnings.
I think Bruno is more Cantona in his play than he was Scholes.
And in his effect on the team he's joined.
Well, if you look at the numbers, it is what you don't never get brought up because this isn't a stat that's from that age. But Cantona had like 19 goals, 21 assists in his first Premier League season with United. That's Bruno numbers. Mm. That's what he did. That's what, you know, he occupies. When I say he occupies the same space on a pitch, this is what I mean. He also took the penalties. Mm.
And do you think as well, again, it would almost be worth looking into average points before arrival, average points won after arrival as well, because where we were when Bruno came in, it's not, he hasn't led us to four titles in 5 years or whatever it was that Cantona did, but yet, the change of how many games we just win now is radically different. We've been the best team in the country since he arrived, or the best team in the league since he arrived. And
facts,
that's what,
by the way, facts before everyone going, well, we're not really. No, that's the facts.
We've won more points than anyone else since Bruno arrived, and that's what Cantona did with United.
Unbelievable.
That's what Cantona did with United.
And I know there's no table from January to December.
Yeah,
that's a proper Arsenal.
I was about to tuck the words around my mouth. That's Arsenal tackle, isn't it?
But when you're trying to explain to fuckwits that there's been progression, that's how you show the progression. Guess what? Under Jose, at no point was United the best team in the country for 12 months.
No.
We are now.
Yeah.
No. And even though it might not feel like the full package, we can see holes all over the show in that team still. We are, right now, progressing. Mm.
100%. And, you know, going back to the Eric argument, I think can be a little bit deceptive with Eric, because when he arrived, we were like mid-table or whatever, because we'd had an awful start. But we were...
Well, we were probably the second best team in the country.
Yeah, player for player, I'd argue we were better than Leeds. I just think, obviously, you know, they won the title. And then once we got Eric, he was one of their best players off him. That just changed all that completely. But player for player, we had a very, very strong team. I think when Bruno arrived, we didn't have such a strong team. It's improved with the signings and plus Pogba and Martial coming back from injury. But I think that's been the sort of the most eye-opening thing for me is you go back to that Burnley game. I think it was the last game before he arrived.
It was bad, Jay.
It was, mate.
It was bad.
And even me and you have always defended Ollie and stuck up for him. It was a struggle to defend him after that. I was like, I fear for him, I think, was my exact thing. I think he'll do well to keep his job.
Is there a difference in the perception of a player that comes in and has the impact that Bruno has had when it's not Eric leading you to a title and when it's not Van Persie? Is it when they've not been the final piece in a jigsaw, like those two players were?
Yeah.
When they've just been a piece in a jigsaw.
A very big piece in
a very big piece in a jigsaw that there's still holes in.
Yeah.
Are they maybe not given the right sort of credit? Maybe not given the right sort of adulation for the impact that they've undoubtedly had?
I think it can work both ways. In some ways, it may get overstated a little bit because it's like, this guy's the greatest player I've ever seen because he's so good in comparison to his teammates. Where when you're Eric coming into a team that's got Kanchelskis in, who was fantastic during that period, it's got Ryan Giggs in, it's got Lee Sharp, it's got Mark Hughes in, it's got stars in it that are crowd favourites as well, exciting players.
Oh, God, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They might not be the best in terms of technical ability.
Mark Hughes is scoring an overhead volley from the edge of the box seven or eight times a season.
Do you know what I mean? Made Wembley his own. Literally did score all the time at Wembley. It was amazing, wasn't it? It was just ridiculous. So you look at him and you go, right, okay, you know, he's one of many. Whereas Bruno, it was like he was for a period, because let's not forget, well, Marcus got his injury. Martial was still injured.
Pogba went MIA. Pogba went
MIA. So it was just literally like, well, we've got Bruno. And that's about it,
that's
actually.
That's it. Yeah.
for a short period, it was almost that was it, wasn't it?
Mason Greenwood.
Yeah, he was like, you know, still at school. So that makes you sort of overreg it a bit. But those stats you've just come up, the best team since he's been here. Mm.
I think points per game. Yeah, Liverpool have game. Played more games
right,
than
okay.
us and have like two more points than
but
us.
But going back to that Burnley game where it was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore, to we're in with a... We're in the conversation at the moment.
He's
for
got us playing and fighting and currently kind of being a team that I actually do want to give a fuck about.
Yeah, that's a big thing as well, because I think we were talking about it before. It has been hard work. People call United fans spoiled and all the rest of it. And yeah, we are spoiled. We watched 13 titles in 20 years, whatever. Of course, we're spoiled.
Cry more.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? What do you think we're not? But it was hard work watching Moyes, and then Van Gaal, and then Mourinho.
Yeah,
and
John Faulkner says there in the comments, it's to your point, he said, give me our current squad and Gaffer over any post-Fergie. And that, you know, even though we won trophies under Jose, I wouldn't swap what we have now for the team and manager we had with Jose Mourinho, would you?
No, not at all. It's like there's lots of revisionism that goes on social media with United, and
yeah, mostly by people that have got Jose Mourinho as their avatar.
Yeah, I support Jose, and you know, well, what's that mean?
Well, he's not here.
Yeah, so that's
join
not a
him
thing.
And fuck off.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, under Jose, we would have won that game. Based on what? What evidence have you got for any of
because
this?
Because I'll show you a lot of games that we didn't win.
Yeah. Like Van Gaal would have done it. Van Gaal couldn't and didn't. Van Gaal, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain things you can look at in Jose and go,
our
trophies.
Defense is bad at the moment, collectively.
Yeah.
We leak a lot of goals. But guess what, fuckface? We're the first United team that's actually even scored 2 goals every time away from home as well. The first team to win 10 away games.
Yeah. I mean, even Ollie, for, you know, whatever you think, Ollie came in, first game, we scored 5, which was like, what?
Has it happened, what, 5, 6, 7 times?
Yeah.
Under Ollie? Which is more than it had happened in any of the rest of the
post Fergie at all. I mean, you can't deny it. We're just better to watch. Mm. Do you know what I mean? You may not believe in Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You may not think he's the man to take you to the title or whatever. But there's no denying for me that watching Manchester United now is far more entertaining and better than it has been since 2013.
Pound for pound.
It just is, man. Do you know what I mean? I mean,
last year we had Mason Greenwood, rookie Mason Greenwood. Was it 19 goals he finished with?
Yeah.
20 for Martial, 20 for Marcus. What?
Exactly. Mate, we watched the other day, we battered Leeds 6-2, and there was even people moaning about the two.
Andy Tate.
Yeah, Andy Tate was one of them. On our
just a comment then, just quickly before we move on. From Danny Inns, Danny Inns, yes. A different one. And he said, I commented on the community post with my email address so that you can email me about my giveaway win. Danny Inns won day 2, I believe.
Inaugural winner.
Potentially day 1 of the 12 Days of Paddock giveaway, which is ongoing, which you can still be a part of. And all you have to do is become a member of the channel. Click the join button.
PlayStation 5.
We can put that in the chat. And it's also underneath the video. Click the join button, become a member, and you will be automatically entered into winning the prize. Today's giveaway is going to be a Bruno t-shirt in a size of your choice. We're going to be giving that away at the end of the podcast. But yeah, make sure you sign up as a member. You also get members only videos. You get members only podcasts, behind the scenes stuff. We did a Secret Santa as well, and there's going to be more members only videos coming out. This prize, this 12 Days of Paddock, as I'm sure you're aware by now, is culminating in a PlayStation 5 to be given away on the 6th of January.
Oosh.
And if you sign up as a member now, you'll be automatically entered for every single day. So the sooner you do it, the more chances you've got of winning something. So make sure you click on that and join. And we're also going to be doing...
support the channel, more content, win a PlayStation 5 potentially.
Yeah. And we're going to be doing more giveaways as well, or many more giveaways as the year goes on. It's not going to stop here. We're going to be doing plenty of stuff for our members.
Including have a bath with Andy Tate.
Yeah. And regular giveaways as well. So plenty of big stuff coming. But yeah, click the join button, join as a member, and we're going to be announcing the third winner today at the end of this podcast, so stay tuned.
I think you have to bring your own Greggs, though, if you're having a bath with Andy Tate.
Yeah, I think you do. What, for and squeeze the gravy out of the steak bake and fill the bath with it.
Lovely. That is a lovely image.
Should we talk a little bit about something else? Because Edinson Cavani has been talked about.
Yeah, but only he can read them. Look at that.
Yeah, it's
fine. I thought my handwriting was bad, but...
Nothing wrong with that.
It's shorthand.
Joe's aspiring doctor, I think.
Ole's been talking in his press conference before the Wolves game tomorrow. He's been talking about... Well, he was questioned about Edinson Cavani, questioned about the chance of getting his contract extended, which is already 2 years. It's not like he did like a 6-month contract.
It's like 18 months, really, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it was 2 years when he signed it. It's about 18 months now. This podcast is sponsored by Harry's. Jay, what do you love most about shaving with Harry's?
Well, it's been about 10 months, about a year since I started using Harry's. And what I like about it is, you know, like men's grooms all the rage now, and everyone's into it. And I've never really been like that. But when you get it from Harry's, you get like it in a nice gift set. It comes like a gift set. I love them as well. It's like a bit of a backstory to it because Harry's was started by some sort of like, I think it was Jeff and Andy too. Mm. Ordinary blokes started Harry's and they sort of focused on the products. So you can say there's sort of a lot of effort that's gone into it and making it as best they can rather than sort of mass produced stuff.
Yeah, they've sort of gone for a less profit but better quality for your money type model, haven't they? So, because obviously the thing with Harry's is they're coming up against everyone and all these people who for years you've bought from, you've been ripped off by, every 2 weeks you have to spend 8, 10, 12 quid on new razors. Well, you know, Harry's is doing it a different way. So instead of it being ridiculous prices, it's slightly less profit for them and better products for a fairer price for you. Now, the great thing about Harry's is they offer a trial set for our listeners. For £3.95, you get a weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and a trimmer blade. You get a rich lathering shave gel, and you get a travel blade cover, so you can take it anywhere with you, take it on the road, take it out to your missus's house, wherever you need to have a quick shave. I use it on my neck. Obviously, yeah. I've got a beard, but I use it on my neck and on my cheeks just to tidy it up a little bit, because you still want that close, clean shave, even if you've got a beard. And you obviously haven't got a beard. You're a clean shaven guy.
Can you hear that, Joe? That's the smoothness of
my
face.
I can't hear anything,
that's
Jay.
Exactly. That's the smoothness of my face. So, yeah, I've been using it for a year. It's a quality shave. It really is. Mm. They're not playing games, mate. It's one of those, once you start using them, you'll keep going back to it. Trust me.
And our listeners have an exclusive offer. Get started shaving with Harry's today by claiming your trial set for £3.95. You get the ergonomic handle, the 5 precision blades. You get the lathering shave gel, the travel blade cover. And all you have to do to support the podcast is go to harrys.com/ManUnited. That's harrys.com/ManUnited right now for that trial set, all of that stuff for just £3.95. It's really very good quality stuff. Again, harrys.com/ManUnited.
We'll stick a link there in the description of this podcast as well, so you can go and check that out.
Back to the podcast. Do you think it's too soon to be talking about an extension? Well, that's why you should let me finish.
Well,
this
fuck
day.
Off, Joe. That's what I do. Get used to
a different question. Do you think we should be talking, Jay, not you, about new contracts for Cavani already? Bearing in mind, he's still got 18 months left on his contract, and there's people like Paul Pogba, for instance, who have got a similarly length amount of time on their contract and seemingly nothing's
Jay,
going on.
Jay, can I interject?
Or
do I have a choice in this matter?
Or do we already get to say, yes, he's done enough, give him another year to a man that will be 35 when that contract
his
runs
mouth
out.
There. He's already forming the words.
He's pursed.
Joe, you fucking winch.
Why am I a winch?
Right. Why are you throwing up? You basically just said, Jay, put these words in a different order that come out your face, right? What the fuck has Paul Pogba got to do with Cavani?
What I'm saying is, are there potentially more pressing contract concerns at United?
Right. Do you think that they're just sitting... I mean, all right, is United, it could happen.
Wait, ask the question and I'll answer it.
Do you think United are just sitting there outside Cavani's hotel door? Mm-hmm.
Mr. Cavani.
Right. Waiting for him to sign that before they move on to any other contracts in the club?
By the way we do business, yes.
Right, you might have a point.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it's one or the other.
Can
or
I just pour
be.
Gravy all over this?
Ooh, that's a good
more,
thing.
Even more gravy.
Pouring gravy on it.
Yeah, but right. I like gravy and it puts fires out. Right, so okay. I'm going to put fire out with gravy. Ollie was asked, do you think Cavani's done well? Would you like him to stay longer? And he was like, yeah, he's got a contract till next year, but I wouldn't mind him staying longer. I'm paraphrasing, it was words to those effects. And then everyone writes an article, United want new contract for Cavani. You fell into it, Joe. I'm disappointed in you.
What I said to you is...
It's almost as if Joe's looking for talking points.
Yeah, and it's also like...
on this podcast.
It's also as if I said to you, Ollie was asked during a press conference about potentially extending his contract. Do you think that would be a good idea? I didn't phrase it as though Ollie was like, United are ready to sign him. You think, give him another year?
Yes.
It'd be 35.
I don't give a fuck.
So why do you think that, you know... For instance, Ighalo, who started similarly well for United in terms of...
Don't you bring my uncle into this.
I know, he's everyone's uncle. He started pretty well in terms of goals at United. Obviously, he doesn't have the pedigree.
Do you know
that,
why he's not scored recently? Because we haven't played him.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is, can you not see a reason why maybe potentially giving a 35
I'd have kept both of them. Did you see him in his jammers at Christmas?
Oh, come on.
What, Ighalo?
Come on, bro.
Come on, that was lovely, to be fair.
Dad, can't we keep him?
I know.
No, he's going back in January.
Adorable.
Ighalo's for Christmas, not for life, unfortunately.
Someone was asking, sorry, in the comments, I don't know if you saw about, is this on iTunes?
Yes.
It is on iTunes, yes. And you can listen. You can have us coming in your ears. Mm-hmm.
If I may answer your question that you asked me before, he really interrupted me.
It's only about 20 minutes.
And I'll be quick. No, I don't think we should be extending these contracts. I know what Ollie was getting at. I get where you're coming from. But I think we should assess in the summer before we start making any rash decisions like we did with Nemanja Matic.
Oh, fuck you with your logic.
I'm sorry. I have to be that guy.
Knob.
I know.
He's broke the number 7 curse.
He's played about 12 games for us.
And he's been better in those 12 games as an aggregate than anyone else in the number 7 shirt. He broke the curse that Michael Owen brought.
Memphis had a good start, though, didn't he? He did. Come on, let's not pretend that he didn't have a good start to his United.
Jose fucked him up. He gave him 4 minutes. Memphis played 4 minutes for Jose.
And what Jose
they
does
went to Leon and scored 100 goals.
What Jose does when he gives you 4 minutes, he counts that as an appearance and then says to you, look, you've played for, you know, 3 games this season. And you're like, but boss, you've played me a total of 8 minutes. Yeah, but you've scored no goals. You've got it's three games, no enough. Goals, you're not good enough, get out. That's what he did with De Bruyne at Chelsea.
I also think that because he didn't like Louis and Memphis was like Louis, fond of Louis, also Dutch, I think he just fucked him off. See, that's the thing. Daily Blind, you can fucking sling it, even though you're a hell of a footballer and a hell of a handsome man.
Yes,
and Memphis, you can fuck off and all.
Schweinsteiger Why? Was the same as well.
I'm not saying it's because he don't like Dutch people, but I don't think he likes Dutch people.
Maybe okay.
We found out, and I'm sure anyone who wanted to know already knew this, but it became apparent on Twitter over the weekend as well that Cavani's younger than Jamie Vardy, which is mad, isn't it? Considering like
he has
no
had
one
a few injuries.
Vardy is like over the hill.
Right, but here's the thing. Vardy plays every week.
Yeah.
And Cavani doesn't play every week. So you can be at different stages of being 33. Rooney and Ronaldo didn't have the same miles on the clock.
No, Ibrahimovic and Rooney, for example, both relatively of a similar quality in their prime. Ibrahimovic was still in that prime at 35. Rooney isn't even 35 yet.
I mean, Ibra started scoring 50 goals a season at 30.
That's the thing is, Jamie Vardy didn't start playing football until he was 32.
Yeah.
That's just literally his first ever time of kicking a ball. Yeah. So people forget that.
Just in pub car parks, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Or something like that. People love acting like Jamie Vardy was...
Leicester and Palace, 1-1 if you're watching live.
Don't care.
Yeah, Jamie Vardy was a single cell amoeba in 2006, if you believe Twitter. Yeah. And not only did he evolve into a human, he played every single league fucking football up until winning the league with Leicester in 2015.
I wonder how much is in that about academy players being absolutely burnt out by the time they get to like 24.
Mm.
Whereas if you've had a job, what was Jamie Vardy's job?
He's an odd carrier, wasn't he?
Fingering in that, wasn't it?
Construction site, then. So
I think so.
That's hardly an easy job. But
what did you say? Let's move on.
What did you say? Move on. What did you say?
You listen back if you have to, but I can't say it again.
Not doing that.
Just said fingering in that, wasn't it?
All right, we've had an update on the potential postponement/buy for United, and it's bad news for City. They will be granted a postponement if they can't fulfil their Carabao semi-final with United. No, it's not. It's bad news because we're going to fuck them.
That's the spirit.
The forfeit rule applied to Orient is up for only games up until including round four. That's from Ben Jacobs. He's not read the full fucking rules, brother, because it actually mentions the semi-finals. Where is he? Oh, he's a sports journalist in New York.
He's a Leicester City fan as well.
Mm, of course you are.
you don't believe him? There you go, Steve. Read that.
Dispersions. What?
That.
The rule specifically references semi-finals, stating reasonable endeavours will be taken to rearrange the fixture at the earliest reasonable opportunity. If that's not possible, abandonment is considered, which is the unlikely point. United would go through. See? So it just contradicts your first fucking tweet, Ben.
I would love it, right? Just love it if we got a bye.
I'd love it if we got a buy.
Because City would be that
goes
annoying.
Down as a win.
And then,
down as a win.
Yeah, they would go on about it for the rest of their lives.
We beat City in the semi final.
Yeah, but you didn't beat us though, did you?
Yeah.
It was only because of COVID. You got a buy.
I promise you this, fuckfaces. We will release a Stretford Paddock Manchester City
review.
Buy mug for the semi final.
We'll also release a review video of United beating Man City.
What happened? We'll do a watch along
of the buy being announced.
We'll do fan cams. Steve, what did you make of that bar?
Honestly, I think we've got to buck up, man. I mean, we got through by the skin of our teeth. Some say on a technicality, some say it was in the rules. At the end of the day, we're in the hat for the final. That's all that matters, Joe.
Thank you very much, Steve. who's your favourite performer today?
Marcus Rashford, obviously.
Yeah, we'll be doing that. If you're not able to throw the bar. Yeah, we don't know the full extent either of who's got...
We'll make a mug, by the way. We'll make a mug. We'll do 100 of them. We'll sell 100 of them. And that's it.
Quality. They brought out DVD when they beat us in the league once, didn't they? So come on.
Gosh,
fucking sadder.
Did they?
Yeah, but they beat us 3-1 at Main Road. The last game, like, they literally brought out DVD. November, 3-1. I was there. Well, you weren't though, were you?
No, because about 8 people there.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. Speaking of football. I'm good at this. I'm fucking
quality.
I'm well
quality.
Good at this, lads.
Hey,
speaking of football, boys. Hannibal Medbury, and Tedden Mengi have been having somewhat of
a to do, Joe.
A tete-a-tete, a fracas.
Any inside info?
Tell us the situation.
Look at you looking all coy.
Tell us the situation, you coy boy.
What's the
passcode to your phone.
Tell us the situation first. I'll find out. For those who don't know. And tell us what's going on with it.
Right, United got smacked up by Chelsea last week. 6-1.
Yeah. In what year?
What
age group?
Yeah. It was a bit of a disaster when we had Dave Pritt on talking about it. I didn't see the game. Dave Pritt was talking about it, and it was, by all accounts, a horrible... I know 6-1's always a horrible result, but it did seem like there was just an element of anything that can go wrong does.
On the screen for us here. So Mabry's put on a post, which is shaking hands with someone from Chelsea after he just beat us, smiling, laughing. Not a great look with Pierre Ekwa. I'm assuming he's a Chelsea player. Don't know him. Mm-hmm. And it's got Clairefontaine. So I'm assuming that's like, you know, we are from Clairefontaine.
Yeah.
Clairefontaine's obviously the French, like Lillishaw, St. George's Park, sort of.
And Pogba and everyone.
They all sort of trained there and stuff like that. So Ted Mengi's commented on it saying, the reason we lost, too many friends and not enough enemies. Now, for those who don't know, Ted Mengi's from Clayton.
Which is like a small utopia in East Manchester. Right. It's like
people on holiday
where dreams come true.
I don't even know Clayton. I'm just laughing at you two.
Yeah, no, it's
people in Clayton go on holiday in Beirut. Basically, Clayton's it's a tough old place.
When I was a reporter, it was on my list of places where if it was, Jay, we need you to go to, there's been a shooting. And it was like, there was a few places and Clayton was one of them where I go, oh, okay. Yeah.
Teddon plays exactly like you think he would. He is Mancunian, Ard, Clayton,
proper
aggro.
Yeah.
Right? So that sort of comment on a teammate's post, no surprise.
Mm. Would he, right, just for people who may still be a little bit unsure, would he have been genuinely annoyed at that?
I think he is genuinely
annoyed. Yeah, so, is he genuinely annoyed?
Yeah. And he also started writing in French.
That's quality.
Now, the translation of what he wrote in French is Hannibal Mabry replied saying, I'm glad that you wrote us on the post. So then he put, it's a team sport, not individuals.
Right, okay. But I think he's got a point.
He's got a hell of a point. Because now, Alou Traore, obviously another Clairefontaine lad, he's in the comments with fucking crying laughing emojis. I think he's away on loan at the moment from United, right, laughing about it.
And you think the reaction...
I think you got taught to fuck off and all.
Yeah.
The reaction after Maguire was having a little chit-chat and a laugh with John Stones when we drew, and it didn't go on social media, it was just on the pitch and it was filmed through, obviously, through TV. This is after they got battered by one of the rivals toward the top of the division and then posting about it on social media with a picture of you laughing. There is it's two or three steps above.
Right, and, now, you know, obviously...
slightly inappropriate.
Hannibal Mabry, good player. Yeah. Not been here that long in the grand scheme of things. Obviously, probably knows the lad he was talking to in the photo more than he's, or for longer than he's been at United, I assume. But I've got to be right behind Teddon here. Teddon is United's under-18s and occasionally under-23s captain. And that is, I wish, what Maguire would have been like. Mm. Now, fuck that. Too many friends, not enough enemies. Imagine Maguire would have said that. How fucking pumped would have all been. So, I'm sorry, Hannibal, you have to fucking take a back seat on this one here. Like, you know, he's just the fuming face.
What's that to in response
that's
to?
That's into Alou Traore, just laughing.
Mengi again with an angry face to Traore.
Yeah.
I like it, to be honest. I think it's good. And
It's like that. Was it you that was saying about, was it Rude after talking about that derby? I think it was that actual game. Came back into the changing rooms wearing a City top or carrying a City because someone else, obviously, City player has to swap shirts with him. I'm pretty sure that Rude didn't want to swap shirts with bloody, I don't know, we played for them like Sean Goater or someone.
Jeff Whitley.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ian Brightwell, come here, son.
Keith Curl.
Yeah.
Come on, Flower.
It wouldn't have happened, would it? So, but Fergie nearly strangled him with it from all intents and purposes. You don't do that at Manchester United, and we need to have that mentality. Listen, I get you, mates, I get you youngsters as well, and you're in a foreign country, you know, you've gone away from home, you see someone you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but plastering it over social media and saying, you know,
they've just beat us 6,
yeah, after being battered, it's embarrassing, man. Have a bit of personal pride as well. Would you not be a bit embarrassed the fact you've just been absolutely battered, and then you're gonna pose in for photos and post
right
in places.
With Ted in here. There needs to be more of that. There's too much of a fucking, and this is across everything. Everyone's too fucking soft nowadays. Everyone, too fucking soft, and you can't demand excellence. Like, people go, oh, they're only fucking kids. No, they're apprentice professional fucking footballers, and they need to have elite winning mentalities and be fucking ruthless. Because I tell you what, when you step out onto that field in front of 75,000 fucking people, they don't go, he's just a boy, fucking leave him. No, I'm not having it.
Also, you look at...
Same standards for Maguire, same standards for Tedden. Fucking good on him. I wish Maguire should... In fact, Maguire could take a fucking lesson from a teenager here in how to fucking deal with the opposition. Don't hug him. Don't be fucking friendly with him. Tell him to fuck off and fight you.
And also, to your point...
Or do it off camera.
He's 18, which for a centre-back is very young, but Mason Greenwood's in the first team at 18. And like you said, there's no... You don't get special treatment by Fernandinho or by Aubameyang or whatever
launch
it is.
The cunt.
Just because you're 17 or 18 or 19, you've got to have that attitude from, at that age.
From what I've heard from a couple of players in training with Tedden, Tedden's smashing it in training at the moment. And the players that I've spoken to are going, he is a nightmare. Like, trying to get past him, he never gives up. I mean, you've seen some of his highlight reel tackles and stuff like that. 60-yard runs to nail someone. Like, this is a kid that's got the perfect mentality, but he's a little bit hot. And I kind of like it.
Of course. Do you know what I mean?
The lads have said you can wind him up in training. And he gives penalties away. And I go, fucking get him in the first team now.
Do you know what? This is the thing, isn't it? Because people have been calling for Andy already. I don't think he's there yet. But I think he's definitely one for the future, 100%. And he's got the right attitude. And hopefully that filters through. And you're right about some of it. The first team should look at that and go, he's setting us an example.
Imagine Roy Keane, Jay. Right. Now, there's only one Roy Keane. There's only one, thankfully, person with that level of mentality in the world.
Yeah.
Now, if you see Roy Keane, sees all of this, sees Maguire hugging Stones, sees fucking Mabry shaking hands and doing that, and then seeing Tedden Mengi lose his shit with all of them, who do you think Roy Keane affiliates with more?
Exactly. And who's going to win that fight? Keane and Mengi against the rest of the squad. It's only one winner there.
Mengi's a fucking animal of a player, and his mentality's bang on. So,
You should have the same standards throughout all the levels at United.
Of course you should.
You had it with Fergie.
Manchester United.
Do you know what I mean? It's not like, well, they're only youngsters, aren't they? Just give them let them off. No, everyone at Manchester United should have the same mentality, whether it's the women's team, the Resis, under-23, you know, under-23s and the Resis, the academy, whatever. That's the mentality it should be. It should be that, you know, you're here, you're representing Manchester United, you're here to win. Yes, you can have friends that aren't at Manchester United. I'm not saying that, it's ridiculous, especially when you're a youngster. But there's a time and
place.
No, you can have friends, but there's a time and place for posting pictures, though. Come on.
You've seen what Rio said. Him and Rooney and fucking...
Lampard.
You see them at England, and you'd be like, sit here with United lads. Fuck off.
And that's why England was shit for 25 years.
Jay, Joe... Ask me if I give single.
I'm not saying it's not worth it.
We were rate good.
Yeah, I'd take 13 leagues in 20 years again.
That's a good question. That from is it Connor Allard? Mm-hmm. What's Mengi like on the ball?
He's good.
Yeah,
he's accomplished. You know, there's not many players that come through Manchester United's academy, certainly at any level, that aren't good on the ball. It doesn't really happen. There's a few things that you're going to be assured of. Being good on the ball is definitely one of them. I think what sets him apart is there's like an animalistic physicality about him that you just don't see. Now, we've seen some top centre-halves come through. You know, Roshan Williams, we've seen Axel Tuanzebe, we've seen some very, very good...
Michael Keane?
Yeah.
Worth mentioning that?
Yeah, I mean, even what broke into the first team previously, Donald Love and McNair and stuff like that, and they're all a little bit, and even... Tuanzebe, to a certain extent, there's a very polished academy vibe about him. You ain't got that with Tedden.
No.
Tedden's got like a about him, which just... mate, I fucking love a psycho.
We all love a psycho, I think, don't we? Can we move forward a little bit, just briefly talk about the Wolves game tomorrow, in reference to the fact that Leicester have just drawn with Crystal Palace?
Roll back on that. I don't want this to be any sort of aspersions on Hannibal Mabry, because that is a top footballer. But he won't make it with the mentality of someone that's going to be fucking shaking hands with people and being friends with people that have just smacked you up 6-1.
I think he just needs maybe a word in his ear. There's a world of difference between a youngster who's just come from France doing what he's doing there and your captain.
In a derby.
Hugging.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
Wrong. Yeah. Different levels.
And it's just a word in his ear. Listen, I know we're obviously going to him for it on social. Time and a place. Do you know what I mean? But then, you know, again... What example is being set? Not the right one. So let's set the right one.
Yeah, let's move on and talk a little bit about
that. I saw another thing I'll throw in. We keep talking about lack of characters and stuff like that in the game. When one comes through like this, I think you've got to nurture it. Mm. I think you've got to let your freak flag fly, man, and let him be who he is. I hope United don't have a go at either player for what they've put on socials.
No.
I think, you know, I can understand Mabry's thing even if I don't agree with it. And I completely do agree with Menga, but also, you know what the club are like.
No animosity, no nothing on social media. We have to be best mates.
I hope that they don't make him pull that down, because I think that side of him, the day he properly puts, I think he made his debut out in Astana.
Right.
But the day he properly enters the first team, because he's not yet, let's be real. The day he properly enters the first team, if he carries that mentality out onto the field, he's a cult hero by game R4.
Love that. Love it.
Leicester have just drawn with Crystal Palace 1-1. That means United are now 1 point behind them. I'm just checking the table here. 1 point behind Leicester with 2 games in hand on them. Now, you wouldn't have necessarily said Leicester were going to be fighting for the title, fighting for any of that, but they were fighting for top four up until about 2 games left at the end of the season. So they are, assuming United or... let's say United don't win the league, they're probably going to be there or thereabouts for top four.
Let's say United don't win the league, John.
Yeah, let's say they don't. They're going to be there or thereabouts for top four. Crazy. Another draw as well. Was there 3 draws yesterday or 4 draws yesterday?
One of the cool kids drew.
Exactly. United drew, Liverpool drew.
So obviously Arsenal didn't.
Arsenal didn't, no. But Leicester have drawn. We're still quite early in the season, but everyone is dropping points, aren't they? In even Liverpool, who I thought personally were going to sort of put that shitty start behind them and almost sort of smack into last season's gear. They're not doing that. No one's really doing that.
Those injuries really well, didn't they? Mm. That I thought was a bit scary when they did that.
When they lost Van Dijk and Fabinho not long after, like, you thought.
And Trent for a little bit.
Yeah, you thought, now this is going to take effect.
Here we go, wheels about to come off, and you know, hands up, they're ridding it out. Whether they get over the Christmas period and then it starts to affect them, maybe. We can only hope. It's going to be tight. There's what? 4 points covers second to ninth, something like that at the moment. It's ridiculously tight. Yeah. That's what I keep saying. Let's 25 games get in. We talk about it being Christmas, but it's not really. We're only 13, 14 games in. Normally, we're halfway through the season.
Yeah, I get where you're coming from now.
Because of the delayed start to the season and all the rest of that sort of stuff, it's not really the same. Think about this as December. You've got to get through January to really have a true representation of where we are as a football team. That's the halfway point. And even that, I would argue, you've got to get into 25 games, man.
Yeah.
Because then that 25 game point, you've got a 10 game block there, and then obviously your last 3 games, which usually, you know, if you can get in and around it by then those last three, you see people moving around a lot there. But that's the two big things. Get to the 25 game point, put a bit of consistency together for that 10 games, and that'll put you in a good position. And then obviously 3 cup finals to see the season out.
That's we just need to replicate the form that we had when Bruno arrived. The last 20 games, whatever it was, unreal.
If we sort of, what we've played, United played 14 games, I think the final 24 games need to be better, but the points per game that we've had so far,
from January, I think
will roughly take us toward the top of the league by the end of the season. If we extrapolate what
we've done since January going forward, we don't have a massive drop off from that. Yeah, you might find us close enough to put a very good streak together of 5-6 wins without even dropping a point, and that might find you above them. It could be above them by thingy anyway.
And something to bear in mind as well is, as good as Liverpool were last season, and it's only because of how good they were that the following statement is true, they didn't have to win under pressure toward the end of the season to win that title.
No.
Not like, as we've seen them do it twice in the last 10 years, they've absolutely bottled it when they've felt that pressure on their back. And they might not have that pressure again this season, and maybe now they'll be better at dealing with it. But they just didn't have any pressure last year because of how good they were, which is, you know, credit to them. But I wonder if someone is within 5 points with 5 games to go, or 10 points with 5 games to go. Even something as far as that, where you think, if we lose 3 games out of our next 10, they might be on us. I think we might see a different Liverpool, and that's when the injuries play in, and that's when someone misses this chance and someone misses that chance, and they ain't got any subs to change a game. And we saw that, what was it, the 3-3 against Palace in 2012, I think it was, wasn't it? Or the Suarez year.
Istanbul, 2014.
Yeah. Istanbul, 2014. Yeah,
we may see something like that.
Sorry.
Still got it on my Sky Plus.
I remember watching it. I can't remember exactly what year it is.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because
You've not? Fucking hell, Joe. Is it your first day on football?
I wonder why you were laughing
at
that.
That's really funny. I've never heard that.
Oh, my God.
I'm only 7 years late on that. But yeah, someone who's putting a bit of pressure on him might make him slip up.
It's weird because even the great, great United sides under Fergie had 3 years of him in the league. Like they put those 3 year patches together and then they'd have a season where things didn't work out, whatever. Now, even though Liverpool have only won like one title, this is like their third season of that because 98 points is a title winning season in any season other than the one they did it in, which is ridiculous. So, this is almost like their third season of having that, and it's very difficult to maintain that, whether
especially with Klopp's intensity,
physically, whether it's just that little thing of that motivation isn't quite there, that you need that hunger that United might have or that someone like Chelsea or whoever City may have to regain a title. Just little things like that. One thing they've got going for them is that experience of winning a title. I think that does count. I think that can go for you. I think that helps City when like the likes of Kompany and players like that stepped up when they were up against it. We saw it with United. You know, how many times did players like Eric or someone who could just steady the ship and say, like, I've got this, lads, and get you over the line. So that can play into their part. So many different variables, but it wouldn't surprise me if Liverpool did struggle a little bit towards the end of the season. I mean, obviously, you know, a lot of wishful thinking there, but because it's very difficult to maintain those levels for three seasons on the trot. Even the great Sir Alex Ferguson only managed to win three on the bounce twice. That's how hard it is.
Which is still pretty good. Liam caught with the super chat. He says, we're doing fairly well at the moment, but how long would it take for us to be in crisis again? Would the media be lenient like they are with Arteta?
I don't. Do you know what? We go the media being lenient, and I don't even think it's that. I think there's still a massive section of our fan base that are waiting to pounce on Ole. Now, you know, not necessarily us, but and not necessarily the majority. I think the majority of fans are behind him, majority of United fans, but there's a very loud section on certainly on social media who can't wait for any form.
Loses a game.
You're not even a draw. I saw it after the City draw. He's got to go now. What?
We're above Pep, but he's got, after
we finished that game above City, now he needs sacking. Right, okay.
People like, even if he wins a league, he can fuck off me.
Even if he wins a league.
Right, hang on. So this is a guy that plays how we want to play football, goes for the throat in every game, sometimes maybe a bit naively, literally gets us, understands us, plays what we want to see play. If he delivers a league title, you're like, nah. Awesome. What do you want?
When you're watching Man United, what is it that you want? Is it not to win? Like, the only thing I want is for United to win the league and the Champions League and the FA Cup and the, you know, in order downwards. But if you've won that, then you've done the only thing you're there to do. There is nothing else. There is no faith in the manager. You did it. No. You get that faith because you, like,
I don't know if he could do it for us. He just did it.
Yeah, he literally just, that's the thing. That's the pinnacle.
Nah.
No, that's not it. No. You win the treble, you're still getting sacked for me.
Yeah. That's, and people say things like, see, it's elite mentality.
Yeah. You're like, he's not here to
be
cool.
Like, oh, look at PSG acting like a big club. You mean appointing the next player as manager? That's one for
fantastic. Should we just...
What's elite mentality? Because Watford's mentality must be fucking mental.
They've got the most elite mentality in the world, haven't they? They've had more, like, 8 managers in the last 4 years.
More managers than milk deliveries. Like,
I know. Mad. Right.
Clearly the same one twice, didn't they? Bring him back. He sacked him and brought him back 6 months later. Then sacked him again.
We've not took your name off the door.
Yeah, come back. All's forgiven. Oh, actually, no, it's not. We're sacking you again.
I bet it's funny when he's like, oh, chairman's ringing me. Oh, I know what this is. Hello?
Yeah, I'll come back.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
Oh, yeah, you're gone again.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, no. See you later.
I didn't even bring my fucking briefcase in.
Yeah, exactly. Right, that's going to be all from us. You can see on the screen the 12 Days of Christmas, which is going on right now. I'm going to read out the winner of today's giveaway, who's going to win a Bruno shirt. The winner is James Hart, one of
our members. James Hart.
Jimmy Hart.
Don't know. Do you know James Hart?
No.
Oh, James Hart, one of our members, has won a Bruno shirt in his size. We'll contact you on the community post on the YouTube channel. So, James, we're going to be contacting you for that. The next giveaway will be tomorrow. We've got a Stretford Paddock shirt to be given away. Should be excellent. But again, all you have to do to be part of the giveaway, which is going to be going on every single day from now till the 6th of January, is become a member. And on the 6th of January, one of you will be winning a Sony PlayStation 5. Yeah, James Hart.
Sorry, I didn't.
Cheers, go on.
Beecher 9 says, to be fair and balanced, some of our football has been poor. Okay, it has. And some strange team selections. We went through a team selection of Fergie's before, didn't we? And we were like, he's fucking lost it.
Mate, we have to round off, don't we? I've always got away without saying something really stupid, but...
Okay.
I'm just going to say it. Even in big games at times, Fergie baffled me. And I'm talking Champions League finals. I'm sorry, But like, I still think 2009, not starting Tevez, 2011, not having Berbatov in your squad, didn't make any sense to me. There was always times when you look at it and go, really? And there's always some times when that wouldn't work, obviously, worked far more often than it didn't. So you're always going to have team selections that you question. Against Leeds, everyone was questioning the team selection, and we battered them. So yes, he can do things where you're looking at it and thinking, really? But as the evidence proves, Ole, like Sir Alex, not at the same level, but results-wise, is getting it right. Mm. So let's judge him at the end of the season on that.
Jasanth Matthew says, when's the PS5 giveaway? That'll be on the 6th of January, the final day of our 12 Days of Paddock. So make sure you remember before then, because anyone who's a member on the 6th will be in with the chance of winning. So make sure you remember before the 6th.
Freya, no, it's not a Women's Cup Paddock shirt. Although, I'll have a look into that, though. And I think we might be able to make them.
But we'll see about that tomorrow. But yeah, today's winner is, one more time, James
Hart.
Congratulations. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast today. Thank you very much for joining us. Jay, tell us about the Scotty Motty podcast.
Scotty Motty podcast is the greatest political stroke news podcast on the internet. It's myself and Dave Scott. And if you like two people that are slightly Mancunian waffling for about an hour on any subject that comes into their heads, usually moaning about the government or Trump or both.
The bloody government.
The blooming government. Up to their old tricks again. Those governments. then, yeah, check it out. It's out once a week, usually. We'll try and do a few more. We've had Mr. Stephen Howson on. Joe Smith's going to come on soon. He's been on before for our election night, 6-hour live special that we did. So, yeah, do check it out. It's well worth a watch, if I do say so myself.
And, Steve, you've got a video out of Rio Ferdinand, haven't you, today?
Rio.
Go on, then. What is it? Not everyone's seen it.
It's called Five Things That We Learned, but F-I-V-E. Because it's on Rio's channel.
No, 5-I-V-E, not F-I-V-E.
F-I-V-E.
5-I-V-E.
As in five, the five.
F, not 5-I-V-E, it's F-I-V-E.
Oh.
F-I-V-E.
That's just five.
Yeah, why did you?
It's what? Five Things We Learned.
Yeah, but why did you spell that word specifically?
Because his channel's called F-I-V-E, five. Mm. Anyway.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I use the number five for Five Things We Learned. They use the
thank
word.
You.
Oh, I get it now. Right, thank you very much for joining us at home. This podcast is available on Spotify, on iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. I'm sure some of you are listening to the audio version of this right now. And all of our podcasts are also available on every single one of your podcast platforms.
So subscribe, if you don't have time to watch,
you want to listen, get us in your car, subscribe and give us a review as well, and make sure you check us out on there. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you in a bit.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.